This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We felt like for so long that Chad Morris, hey, being able to retain the entire staff from one year to the next is pretty nice, but it was announced yesterday, or at least reported yesterday, that John Scott Jr., the defensive tackle coach, is taking a job with South Carolina, and he is moving on.
Which makes sense for John Scott because he's from South Carolina, grew up, home is about 100 miles away from Columbia. So, I mean, these kind of things are going to happen. The question is this a reflection on Chad Morris and a lack of belief in his leadership style and all that? I don't think so. I haven't talked to John Scott Jr. personally about this, but I think this is an opportunity to go home and work back in your home state where your kids live and where you're from. And that seems to make sense to me just logically.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I don't think anybody felt like this was a dumb move by him, if he just knew the research and did the research on it. But here's the funny thing that comes up, is that obviously with this announcement, Chad Morris has another coach he's going to have to hire.
Or do you rearrange it? Here's the thing.
That's going to be my question.
Here's the thing is you'd split the defensive line. And this is, you know, some staffs do it. You know, there's not exactly one answer. Arkansas had Steve Caldwell working with the defensive ends and what they would call in the business the outside techniques, and John Scott Jr. working with the inside guys, the tackles. A lot of places or some places, you know, one coach works with the entire defensive line. So does Steve Caldwell coach the entire defensive line and you bring somebody else? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they manage that staff change.
Yeah, I'll be curious.
Do you want two different coaches working with your defensive line?
I would like a special teams coach.
Now, I get where you're coming from. That sounds great in title, great in theory. It doesn't matter if you're not going to dedicate enough practice time to it.
I know.
But it makes people feel better because then you have someone to blame. But in theory, I think just hiring a special teams coach is not going to solve all the issues.
Well, here's why it comes into play. Is because in the past, I guess, 6 years now, including Brett Bielema's tenure and then Chad Morris' tenure at Arkansas is 1 year, their special teams have been awful, and they have not had a special teams coach. Where before, and I know it sounds weird to say, but before, under Bobby Petrino, you had a special teams coach, and the special teams were great. Well, so it's just people equate it to that. Because I agree with you as far as dedicating playing time, but some people see that, though, and they're like, obviously having a coach helps because it was great under Petrino, but it's been absolute crap ever since then, and they haven't had a special teams coach for that.
Would you say team depth was better back in that time, back in that era?
I believe
I believe special teams is generally an indicator, at least, of what your overall team depth usually is, the quality of your team depth. And Arkansas has not been willing, for various reasons, to put an inordinate amount of their starters and their best players on special teams at all times. And that's the difference. And I think it's about practice time. You're trying so hard to be so good on scrimmage downs, special teams plays just don't get practice now. I hear what you're saying. Well, another thought, and I don't know how this fits in when you're losing a defensive line coach. But you know, I don't remember. I don't think we talked about this, but last week or week before, can't remember which, Tim Horton was taken off the field as a full-time on-the-field assistant at Auburn. Those that don't remember Tim Horton, he's longtime Arkansas assistant coach under different head coaches. His dad's Harold Horton. Arkansas is home. But I'm telling you, he is a monster recruiter. No one does a better job of building relationships, sending out text, you know, handwritten letters, cards, all of these type of things that he puts the personal touch on than Tim Horton. Now he's got like a front office type job. He's going to be in a football. He's going to be in just the football administration on the coaching side for kind of like what a Bobby Allen has done here at Arkansas.
Do you think he wants to do that?
Well, I don't. I mean, only he could say, but I would say not. I think he'd probably rather be coaching players and be on the field and be in the middle of it all.
See, and that's where I was kind of surprised. Because, yeah, we didn't really dive into it because there's a lot of other things going on.
When you have that opening, a defensive assistant opening versus, you know, Tim has always been a running backs type coach, but his strength is recruiting.
Woo. Well, hey, Arkansas lost their director of recruiting too.
Well, but that's maybe.
I know.
I don't want to diminish the importance of that position, but that's not a top level position. Yeah. That Tim Horton is worthy of a higher level of engagement than that.
Well, and if you just look at it, because since he's coached running backs at Auburn, pretty sure under Gus Malzahn they've had some pretty dadgum good running backs, and so you know it's all relative. I mean, if you're going to equate it, I think it's interesting too.
I don't know how you do it, but if you could get him on staff, I think that'd be a real win. Yeah. Between him and Barry Lenny Jr., you'd never lose anybody in Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, they're heavy hitters.
I don't say never's a big word, but they are monster recruiters. Yeah. He is a monster recruiter.
Well, and the other thing I wonder, because this is, and it comes into my head this way, and that's just my head is weird sometimes, but, you know, when John Scott leaving, he was the only real holdover besides Barry Lenny Jr. from the Brett Bielema tenure.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me wonder, I understand him taking the job at South Carolina, but was it also one of those things, just like it's been with maybe a few of these players, where it's kind of like, hey, you know, maybe we want to go a different direction here. If you get a job offer, hey, for sure take that, because we're looking to go somewhere else. I mean, I always just wonder about that, because it's just too coincidental that it happens to be one of the Brett Bielema holdovers that he was told.
Again, the job he's taking is 100 miles from home.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I really do.
And the report I read on hitthatline.com, his kids are still residing in the state of South Carolina. So I know if I had a chance to go work close to home, if I was away from my kids halfway across the country and an opportunity at the same level, probably nearly the same pay, maybe more, maybe I don't know, popped up and I could see my kids and my family more often.
Be all for it.
I'm Hondi Gandhi.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would blame you.
I mean, if I was in South Carolina working and an opportunity came up to come back to Arkansas where my family was,
you're gone.
I'm gone.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. And I think that in the situation now, I'm just wondering, you know, South Carolina with Will Muschamp, a defensive guy, I think it also shows a little bit of worth of how John Scott, he may be a pretty respectable coach if somebody like Will Muschamp, who knows defense, I mean, he's a defensive coach. If he's deciding to make that hire, there obviously must be some value in it. So it makes you think about how much of a loss that may end up being for Arkansas, too. So there's a lot of factors that go into it.
You've still got a great one in Steve Caldwell up front.
Yes,
he's a great recruiter, been around this league. I guess he's put in, I mean, he had 15 years at Tennessee before he came to Arkansas, before he came back to Arkansas, and then was at Boise State in between, spent some time at Arkansas State. I mean, I don't know how many decades of college football experience he has, but just in the SEC, it's over 20. So, I mean, it's not like you're in a real bind up front. It's not like you're getting Roy Segrist back, you know.
Well, that was kind of point that I wanted to make, is that
you're in a great shape.
Yeah, not diminishing John Scott at all, but if there was an assistant coach, a position coach to lose, I think he would be the one that you'd point to, say, well, they'll still be okay by losing him as long as they get somebody that's capable in.
I just think it will be interesting, and they may just plug someone right back in the same spot, how John Chavis wants to set up his defensive coaching staff and what him and Chad Morris, you know, agree on or believe it should be their philosophy when setting up that staff. Because, again, some places do it like Arkansas. Two defensive line coaches. A lot of places do it with one defensive line coach. So it will be interesting to see, you know, whether they find a need somewhere else on the staff that could serve the staff better.
Yeah.
Particularly now on a day where you've got an extra assistant as compared to a couple of years ago when they added, I guess it was at the beginning of this past season, about a year ago, where you got the extra assistant added to the staff.
Yeah.
10 full-time assistants.
That was always a weird thing, too, because when it was always asked to Brett Bielema about what was he going to do with that 10th assistant, and he never really had an answer. So, I mean,
sometimes it depends on who you can hire, too.
Yeah, and what your needs are, and how do you got to address it. So
the question is, do they ever get to a day, because it seems like all of these programs now just have dozens and dozens of people hanging around as analysts and quality control coaches and people you might know, like a Butch Jones at Alabama this year. You know, some of these type of guys. You know, Arkansas has some of these positions, but not nearly as many as other places. And Alabama's team, you know, there is no end to the budget there, it seems like. There's no end to the hiring. Saban needs 10 more, they get 10 more. It's just the way it is. So it'll be interesting to see if there's ever a day and time. You know, you've had the limit on assistant coaches. Is there ever a limit on analyst and quality control and on and on and on and on?
Well, if there ever is, I know a certain particular individual that's going to be very upset by that. That's going to be Nick Saban because the rule's going to be made because of Nick Saban.
Right.
Like you brought up. I mean, he's just been the guy that's done it. Just makes you wonder, why haven't other schools done it? At least to the extent.
Well,
is it money? Is it people even being willing to come to that school? I don't know. Because it's obviously been very beneficial for Nick Saban.
Well, I think Nick Saban's been able to hire people that could actually help their program.
Yeah.
You know, hire people that bring something to the table. If Arkansas went out and hired 40 quality control coaches or, 40 analysts or whatever title you want to give them, would the last 20 really bring something to the table? I mean,
I don't know.
Nick Saban's been able to hire a bunch of people and really create a coaching farm system, if you will, with all of these off-the-field coaching positions. Yeah. That's what they are, because these guys are helping around practice. They're doing stuff.
In a lot of cases, it's guys that are getting buyouts from
the previous jobs.
So you don't have to.
And a lot of times, you're not paying them a whole lot of money because they're getting money from a previous job that's still paying off their contract.
Saban's a genius, man. Well, he knows how to do it.
That's pretty much what Bielema's been doing.
Yeah, with the Patriots.
With the Patriots.
He could have a Super Bowl ring. Amazing.
He's going to have a Super Bowl ring.
Oh, you're already calling your shot. You're already picking the Pats to go along with it. Okay.
Early.
All right. Well, I can't sit here and deny and say you're stupid for picking the Pats because.
Yeah, dumb me. Pick Belichick and Brady.
What an idiot.
What a bonehead.
So I'm not going to hate on you for it.
Tommy picked them last year, so just be. Hey,
when it comes to the NFL, when it comes to the greatest quarterback of all time to ever play in the NFL, I'm never going to hate on anybody for choosing them, even if they choose them last year. Anything. I don't care.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
I'm asking the question of what happens first. Does this football team get back to a bowl game, or does this basketball team make the NCAA tournament? Because right now, both of those things seem like huge stretches. They seem like pretty far off, just given the state of things. So which one happens first?
Ooh. How long a time period are we talking here?
As long as it, whichever
as
one's
long
first.
As it takes,
yes,
huh?
Whichever one's first.
Just quick. First overall snap reaction, I'd say the bowl game happens first. I'm with you. I don't have a lot of confidence in this year's team making the NCAA tournament based on what we've seen to this point. You do have Daniel Gafford, so you do have a chance. It's harder to make the NCAA tournament than it is a bowl game.
Without a doubt.
It's not even close. I mean, there's not this year, but there's teams that get in with five wins into a bowl game. So making a bowl game is a lot easier feat, if you will, to get to six wins. This football team, this coming season, the 2019 year, should have a good chance at winning six games. Now, I don't know if they will, but we all agree that they should get their four non-conference games, and then if you can find a way to win a couple of conference games, there you are. So I would have to lean right now, because beyond this basketball season, guys, who's going to lead this program to an NCAA tournament? Daniel Gafford's not coming back. You've got a team of what will be sophomores and juniors, and that's the problem with this team. There's no seniors on this team. I say that's the problem. They're just not enough experienced players with enough playing time under the belt. I don't think classification of what year you're in really matters much anymore.
And there's really not any young high-level talent right now.
So who's coming in? What players on the horizon? What next NBA prospect is going to put a Razorback jersey on Pat Gafford that can lead this team to the NCAA tournament?
I got nobody.
Exactly.
Silence for a reason. I mean, you have seemed to think it was either you or someone else that Justice Hill is a better football player than basketball player. Did you say that, or am I?
Well, I'm
just going off of what he's seen from. He says he's a freak athlete, and he could help out the football team a lot.
I mean, they won Gatorade High School Player of the Year.
They don't just give those out.
Award. I mean,
right.
I mean,
he's just a great athlete.
Yeah, yes. He's just great at it. And if he ends up playing football or basketball, I think he'll be successful at it. I don't think it matters which sport.
But Justice Hill the guy you look at and say, there's the guy that's going to take you all the way to the tournament?
No.
Nah.
Especially because there's the thing, too. You're losing Daniel Gafford. Who's going to be your inside presence? Gabe Osaboyan and Reggie Cheney? Both of them at 6'8 on a good day?
Right.
I don't care how many great guards you have. If you don't have any post players down low, which, again, given the scholarship limitation right now, there's a reason why Justice Hill is the only player part of the 2019 class that's going to be with the Arkansas basketball rooms because that's all the room you have.
Right.
And you would assume that there's going to be some transfers because there is every single year for every single team.
We've already had one this year so far.
Yeah.
Phillips.
So, I don't know. You're going to have to get some size down there. And even if you do get some size, I don't think it's going to be anyone like a Daniel Gafford that can step right in.
You got to get a 6'9", 6'10", 6'11 guy, you know.
Yeah. But I don't know where you're going to find him.
I don't know if there's true fives in the game anymore, but you better get as close to a five as you can get.
You're going to end up with another Willie Cauwasi. I mean, remember him? He had size, but that was about it. Nothing against the kid.
Stephen Hill.
Hey, I take Stephen Hill. Good grief. At this point in time, I take Stephen Hill.
Don't say anything bad about Stephen Hill.
And say you may end up with like a Michael Sanchez or something. Like that's where the problem comes into play is because, and that's why I even asked this question, because I agree with you, Tommy, that getting to a bowl game is easier. But it just seems like Arkansas football is so far from being in a bowl game right now, which, you know, this season can change everything.
You seem closer to the NCAA tournament.
You do.
Right now.
And especially because Chad Morris is not a proven coach, head coach, just yet. He was only at SMU for a few seasons, and his best year was 7-5. Now you feel confident in his ability, feel confident in what he was able to do as a coordinator, but he has not proven just yet that he can get there. Hopefully he does. But at least Mike Anderson has proven that he can get to the NCAA tournament. Now he hasn't been able to advance to the second round or the second weekend of the NCAA tournament at Arkansas, but he's at least proven he can get there.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes into play of how much do you trust Mike Anderson and how much do you trust Chad Morris? Who do you feel like isn't in a better position to get it turned around from this point in time? Probably would say Morris just recruiting, but again, he hasn't proven that he can take it to the next level, especially in the SEC. So that's why I feel like it's a very interesting but complicated question.
And Dave Van Horn's not an option in this conversation?
No, we all know that Dave Van Horn is going to be just fine. Dave Van Horn misses the postseason, that's
just checking to make sure I didn't have a third option I wanted to wear.
No third option. Okay. These are the only two. So I think we don't need even to discuss and throw baseball into the same categories as those programs right now. We know where they're at. But that's the question that I'm asking because it's a weird time right now. Because I mean, really think about it, Tommy. Because you've been following Razorback sports a lot longer than I have. I can't think of it. Maybe you can of a time where both major sports and football and basketball were in such a state of such uncertainty for the future.
You look at, let me just go back 30 years or so, back to the end of the Southwest Conference. Football was good. You'd won a couple of Southwest Conference titles, a couple 10-win seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball wasn't really strong yet in the late 80s.
No, because it was still
Nolan trying to get his feet under him. He lost his daughter. He was trying to figure it out. Nolan was on the hot seat going into the 89-90 season with Todd Day, Lee Mayberry, Oliver Miller. They end up in the Final Four. About that time is when the football program, after Ken Hatfield left, tumbled hard. And under Jack Crow, obviously we know the history there. But the basketball program was on the rise. And then we know how great basketball was through most of the 90s, as good a program as there was in the 90s. And I know it all kind of started tailing off towards the end, but that's about the time football
started picking back up.
I mean, you just go through these eras. You know, that gets you through the last 15 or so years. There's been some short stretches in there where basketball was not real strong, like 04 and 05. Some of those eras when basketball and football together were less than average. But then quickly, 06, McFadden and football, back up.
Basketball even 07, made the tournament that year, too. So, I mean, both of them were kind of in the same stretch.
Right.
Maybe during the John Pelfrey years, you had Bobby Petrino. I mean, you had that other thing to fall back on.
You know, in his... Is basketball in the toilet right now?
No.
Is it terrible? No. So let's not compare this to, like, you know, these aren't teams that are going to struggle, as it appears, to have a winning season. These aren't, probably make the NIT, but I don't think that's even a certainty right now. I'm going to be honest. I don't know that Arkansas is guaranteed a spot in the NIT. So, you know, there haven't been a lot of stretches in the last 30 years where Arkansas basketball and Arkansas football were both on the skids. So it really is up to basketball right now to kind of carry you through, because football's clearly been on a six-year skid. That's not been pretty.
Mm-hmm. And it comes down to this, too. When you're looking at both coaches and the situations that they're in, the one thing that you can say about Chad Morrison, maybe why you feel better about the direction of the football program, is because of his recruiting. That's where that's the one thing that people point to and say, hey, give it year, 2 years, 3 years, when you get all the recruits, and if you can get some consistent top 20 recruiting classes in there, it's going to make the difference. You just got to wait on it. And then Mike Anderson's kind of the different thing, where you don't really have anything particularly to point to say, this is where it's going to change. When this player gets on campus, it's going to change. When this class gets on campus, you don't have that. But again, I think Mike Anderson is a much more proven coach than Chad Morris at this point in time, too. So it's a weird conundrum that Razorbacks fans find themselves in.
Steve writes in a great question. So in basketball, are we now to be satisfied just to get to the tournament? Should we recalibrate expectations as fans?
No.
I say no,
No.
It shouldn't be.
There's a reason why people are mad at Mike Anderson right now.
Exactly. I don't think fans are satisfied just getting to the tournament. That's why we're seeing the response and the reaction from the fan base we've seen.
Yeah.
I don't say fed up is probably too strong, but they're getting close to fed up.
Their patience is wearing thin.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that Mike Anderson, and they know the situation he took over. They know all of that. But they also know that they're a program where they look around their own conference, the SEC, and they look around at a lot of these other programs, and they're saying, this team's been to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
This team doesn't even, like, they average 3,000 fans at basketball, and they're making it to the Sweet 16.
Well, I mean, that's
where's ours?
That's the problem I think I've got, and I think a lot of people have. Tennessee's rebuilt in 4 years. Hell, Ole Miss has seemed to do it in about 4 months.
Yeah, 4 seconds.
Mississippi State's rebuilt their all of these programs. I keep going down the list. South Carolina, Auburn, have all had harder times since Arkansas has not made tournament. My point is the reclamation projects at all of these other schools seem to be a much shorter window than what we've had at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike's had a few ups making tournaments, but can't get to the second weekend, as we know. But there's just not the consistency. It's got a little bit of, like, Houston nut on it,
mm-hmm.
except we're not getting the 06 season here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do just enough to stay safe, and then it tails off for a year or two. Then do just enough to be safe, and then it tails off.
Yeah.
And I think people expect a more consistent product out of a basketball program that, you know, over the last 40 years has been pretty darn good at times.
Yeah. And again, I feel like, and I could be wrong, Razorback fans, but I feel like that if in this 2019 recruiting class, you're struggling this year, but say if you had two four-star players coming in, one of them being a big man, another one being a four, where you had guys that look like, you would even feel okay this year. Yeah, it's struggling a little bit, but once you get some year of development under these guys that are here now, these young players, and then you throw in these other really good players coming in, that should be good enough to get you at least somewhere. But it's not even that you can point to.
There is no way anyone out there, listen, don't change your expectations. Demand more of the people in charge of that basketball program. Hunter Yurecek, Mike Anderson, all of those that are responsible for this. You as a fan, we all together need to demand more. Because what we're getting is not good enough. What you're paying, was it $25 face value to get in most of the seats at Bud Walton Arena? You're not getting your money's worth. Not consistently. No, it's not time to, it is nowhere near time to change expectations.
No.
What it's time to do is demand a better product.
Yeah. I hope nobody changes their expectations. No. You know what you're capable of as a program. You got to the pinnacle in the early, in the 90s, and I know that people talk about how the game has changed over the past 25 years, and it has, but that doesn't mean you can't get back there. That doesn't mean the game has changed you as a program. It hasn't. You have a lot of things going for you. You should never change that. So I hope nobody ever does.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
All right, it is time for Would You Rather Tuesday, which we weren't able to do last week, but we wanted to do it again this week. But it is a Would You Rather Tuesday, and it is presented by Brent Higgins Trucking.
Yeah, if you're an experienced transportation professional and you've driven frozen and refrigerated goods before, they want to talk to you at Brent Higgins Trucking. They're a family-owned company. Offer insurance, get you home every week where you see your family. Been doing it since 1997. Brent Higgins Trucking in Mulberry, proudly delivering to and from various areas all over the United States, but not limited to Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. So they got a lot of runs, a lot of customers in those four states that surround Arkansas, so they can get you home more often. Brent Higgins Trucking, where you're a name, not a number. Contact them at 479-997-2366. They would love to talk to you if you're looking for a new job transporting frozen and refrigerated goods. Again, 997-2366. More details online. Looking for drivers now at Brent Higgins Trucking. Online, BrentHigginsTrucking.com.
All right, so we're going to go through a few of our Would You Rather questions, and there has been a few of you that tweeted at us or went on our Facebook page and let us know some of the Would You Rather questions you have. So we're going to get to all of them. Let's start right here. Would you rather watch the NFL playoffs or the college football playoffs? Very simple.
Ooh.
If you just had to sit down and watch one from beginning to end the whole time. Obviously, with the NFL, you get more games.
NFL play. Okay, so are we talking the wild card, divisional,
yes,
or just one day of?
Just like where you have college football playoffs coming up, you have the NFL playoffs coming up, and you have to choose one to watch.
That's a toughie. Probably go with the NFL just because if I only get one, but the other one will get three games versus 4, 8, 10, 11. Am I adding that up right?
You sound right to me. I'm not going to deny that. But
4 in the wild card, 4 in the divisional.
So you choose it just because you get more games.
Right. More football, more weekends.
But do you think it would be more intriguing, though?
I'm far more interested in college football and the college football playoffs. But 11 games versus, I mean, I can't imagine not watching the Super Bowl.
I know. It's.
Have you ever not watched the Super Bowl? Can you remember not watching the Super Bowl? I can't remember not watching the Super Bowl.
And if I did, I must have been asleep.
Of course, I can't remember not watching the college football playoff either.
Yeah, the national championship.
So 11 games versus 3. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love college football more than pro football.
I don't know.
I've become like an NBA fan with the NFL. I watch a little bit in the regular season. I'm not a diehard every Sunday. I have not missed a playoff game hardly. Yeah,
I love the playoffs when it comes to NBA. And that's how a lot of people are. If I had a choice between these two, between NFL playoffs and college football playoffs.
The last 2 years, I have not, and it's really started about 2 years ago, I have not centered my Sundays around from noon till whenever watching football.
No. I
just don't
either.
Do it anymore.
I used to, but I don't. And even Monday Night Football, I used to watch every Monday Night Football game.
I'm with you.
I'm not the same. Things have changed.
By the time you go to a high school game, watch high school on Friday, college football like 12, 14 hours on Saturday.
Kind of just footballed out.
I mean, it's not footballed out. There's just other life.
You got to do
life,
things.
Kids, house.
Yeah. What's that like?
Work.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that got to get done.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I'm kind of with you, though. I don't know. The only reason I'd watch the college football playoffs, I probably have the edge to the college football playoffs, is because I feel like there'd be more intrigue and more interest. That's just me. But either way, you can't go wrong with it. All right, if you're an Arkansas fan, would you rather make a bowl game or make the NCAA tournament next year?
Next year.
Next year.
Not counting this
year. Not counting this season.
Bowl game.
Okay.
Football, I mean, basketball's been to the postseason. It's had... I mean, if you deem that a success, just getting to the tournament, and you should. It's not easy to get to the tournament. But I think we're finding out how hard it is to get to a bowl game. Arkansas's got to get this thing back on track. It would be a sign that you've gotten the thing back on track if you get to a bowl game. I'll take the bowl game.
See, I'd take the NCAA tournament, personally, because here's the thing. If you go 6-6 and you end up in Birmingham for a bowl game, I get it that you feel good about the future, but at the end of the day, it's like, okay, you still went 6-6.
Yeah, but you didn't go 2-10.
I agree.
You didn't go 4-8. The last two seasons combined were 6 wins.
Yeah, but getting to the NCAA tournament at least sets you up to where you can advance. You can go somewhere with it.
You're in the hunt for a championship if you're in the tournament.
You may not
have great odds, but
you're in it. Yeah.
There's only 68 teams that theoretically have a chance at a national championship once the bracket's set.
Oh, yeah.
So mid-March.
I would just lean towards getting to that.
But let's be honest. In college football, how many teams really legitimately have a chance when they tee it up in late August, early September?
Two.
8?
Oh, you're even saying that high. I wouldn't even say that high. I was saying maybe 2-4. That legitimately have a chance.
This year, yeah. Now that picture clears up.
Yeah.
In November and December. But at the beginning of the year, there's about 8 or 10 hopefuls that could win it all.
Yeah.
Alabama has suffocated everybody out of that conversation in recent years. Clemson's going to do the same thing. Every conversation is going to start with Alabama and Clemson, and then we're going to throw in 4 or 5 other teams just to keep it interesting.
Like Georgia, Oklahoma.
All right.
Notre Dame, going defeated again.
Texas may get into this conversation.
Maybe Ohio State. Maybe Michigan.
Oklahoma for sure this year with Tua.
Yeah. Always get thrown around.
But the point is, in basketball, a lot more wide open.
Yeah. But you have a better season if you go to the NCAA tournament than if you would go to a bowl game in football. So, I don't know. I think Arkansas fans would take either one, for sure.
It was 350. We looked up this number last week. 350-some-odd. 353 teams that play Division I basketball.
You'd be at least the top 68.
128 or whatever that play college football at the highest level.
Yeah. Hey, you can still go 5-7 and make a bowl game, as we all know. So
it's harder to get in the college football playoff than it is the NCAA tournament.
Oh, without
no
a
doubt.
Question. Without question. So, all right, here's another one for you. Would you rather see the Patriots or Alabama stop winning at such a high level?
Alabama.
It's just because you're Alabama.
That's not even
easy.
I'm going to get on the Nick Mason train. That question sucks.
Yeah.
Well, that's an easy one.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what do you mean?
Y'all can think of them next time then. I'm just asking this question because.
Why would you ever say the Patriots?
Well, I'm just saying in case you're an NFL
Jets fan,
though.
Jets fan.
Because if you're an NFL fan and you like watching the NFL, if you're tired of seeing Tom Brady.
We're all Arkansas fans first.
I understand. But to me, Alabama being as dominant because you're so far away from even being competitive with Bama, that doesn't matter that they're as dominant because you're not going to win.
It was a bad question and
He got a little defensive there.
Well, it's because I have legitimacy to it.
I'm just not as emotionally involved with any NFL team as we all are with Razorbacks.
Right.
So I need Alabama to start sucking fast, you know, stinking it up.
I was coming from more of the rate of not just being a Razorback.
Rub a little Razorback cologne on.
But coming from the side of things of what are you tired of seeing?
Alabama kicking everyone's tail in the SEC West.
All right, that's fine. Moving on to the next one. All right, this one comes from James on Twitter. It says, would you rather be strapped to a chair and hear on endless loop for 24 hours? We're young or we're close? James, this is a great question because
I'll
hate them both.
Either way, I'm talking.
I hate them both.
What do you need to know?
If I had to hear one more over the other, I would say I'd rather hear We're Young. Because at least with We're Young, that's a fact. Like, you could say, hey, I mean, if you have a bunch of freshmen in there.
What does We're Close even mean?
Yeah, when you say We're Close. Which is what we know from what Brett Bielema kept saying.
And close to getting fired?
Yeah. It's so general. You could say whatever it is. You could say whatever. We're close. Close
to
what?
Another 4-win year. We're close to fill in the blank, you know.
Yeah. You could say it for whatever, but it didn't have the same value to it. And it was so annoying. And it was so insulting, the whole thing. So, I mean, the fact that that's even a...
We're close to making you think we're headed somewhere when we're really not. We're close to what, you know?
It was annoying. I hated that.
We're Young. I'm with you.
I'd have to go with We're Young. All right, this one comes from Wesley. Kind of an interesting one. He says, would you rather win 5 games next football season or see a coaching change in the basketball program at the end of the year?
Well, I guess we're going to see a coaching change. We're assuming you're not making the tournament this year or next. I'm just not a believer that... I'm a believer Mike can keep us about where we're at. If you're happy just getting to the tournament, two out of four, three out of five, just kind of wandering through the SEC, being a top five SEC program, but never really doing anything special. Never having a year like, not even a year like Tennessee's having. Just give us a year like Ole Miss is having, maybe.
Yeah, take that all day long.
I'm just not confident Mike's ever going to get the program there. So I guess, I like Mike, but I'm not convinced that this thing's ever going to turn out with any kind of huge success. So I'd say changing the basketball.
No, I'm kind of with you. All right, this one comes from Coach Cole Garnett. Another interesting. Would you rather be bottom five in SEC or top five in Big 12 in football? I feel like you'd rather be top five in Big 12.
Yeah, I'd rather be top five in anything.
Yeah, I don't care what the conference is. If it's,
Unless it's Sun Belt. Like I don't.
Would you rather be bottom five SEC or top five Sun Belt?
Bottom five SEC.
Yeah, in that regard, yes, go with the SEC. But if you can say you could be in the top five in the Big 12 in football, I think we'd all take that all day long. That's for sure.
Football.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on HitThatLine.com.